Do a short series on the life of Isaac. It may be three messages, it may be four messages, but I want a revival or renewal. I want a revival. Say that with me. I want revival. Do you want revival? Amen. And we talk about miracles, but one of the greatest miracles is reviving God's people. I want something fresh. I want something powerful. I want something genuine and real from the hand of Almighty God. You know what will change America and what will change the world and what will change your world is an old-fashioned, devil-chasing, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, miracle-working, heaven-loving, on-fire revival. Can you give him a hand of praise? Earth to God, we need a revival. Amen. And I want to look at the life of Isaac as a pattern of revival. Revival and renewal for our country, revival and renewal for the church, and revival and renewal for each individual. Now, you remember Isaac. He is the son of promise. He is the son of Abraham, the heir to the plan and purposes of God, the miracle boy wonder. He's the second generation. And you'll see that when you study the life of Abraham and the life of Isaac and the life of Jacob, the patriarchs, you'll see that Isaac didn't quite have the experiences and depth that his father Abraham did. And you'll see that Jacob didn't start out nearly like his father Isaac. And then you see those 11 scoundrels of the great-grandchildren of Abraham. You see those 12 sons of Israel or Jacob, and one of them was good out of the 12. And you see, the point is that as the generations go down, there seems to be a loss somewhere of genuineness and sincerity. You see, I thank God for what he did for my great-grandmother. And I see Sister Doris Foran is Haley's great-grandmother. And Haley and I, we talk about how that my great-grandmother, like her great-grandmother, has played such a vital role in my life and how she was intent and on fire for God. But I need a touch of God in my life. And whether you're the first generation or second generation or third, we are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Why? That we should show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want revival. Would you give him a hand of praise here tonight? I want it and I need it. And there are three things that Isaac did. And if you'll turn to Genesis 26, three things he did. He unstopped the wells. He sowed in the land. He prayed in the field. Three defining moments in the life of Isaac. And I believe if we do those three things, I believe that we will see that second generation anointing and blessing. I believe that we'll see that now generation anointing and blessing. And turn with me to Genesis 26 and stand with me tonight as we go into the life of Isaac. Tonight's message is unstopping the wells. Genesis 26, verses 12 through 19. If you're there, say amen. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth, debris, dirt. Go to verse 16. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go from us, for you are mightier than we." And Isaac departed then and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Sometimes we have to pitch a tent in the valley and dwell there. But you know, it's only for a season and it's only for a reason. Amen. And verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of... I'm going to repeat that. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines have stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names by the names which their father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley Oh, praise God, there's blessings in the valley of springing living water. Lift your hands tonight, and Father, unclog those wells tonight. We're vessels, and we need a flow of your anointing, and a flow of the river of revival. And we ask you, oh God, Lord, as our pastor's been preaching, Lord, let there be a miracle in the making. And Father, let your servant preach tonight under the great anointing, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see them in spite of COVID-19. Did you say it just like I said it? Glad to see you in spite of COVID-19. Isaac, unstop the well. Say that. Sowed in the land. Prayed in the field. In our text tonight, we find one of the defining moments in the life of Isaac. And it speaks of how Isaac had to redig the wells of his father. And why? Because the enemy had stopped them up. You know, we have an enemy. The Bible says that we have an adversary, the roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you that the enemy has indeed stopped up the wells of many denominations. Denominations that used to be on fire for God, classical Pentecostals, where the Spirit of God was free in services, where doctrine was preached and conviction was felt. Somewhere in our Pentecostal movement, there has been a clogging of those wells. Somewhere the enemy has thrown in the worldly ways that have stopped the flow and the move of God. And I'm not against methods, and I'm not against learning, and I'm not against learning from others who have succeeded. But if you have not succeeded in keeping that river flowing and the Pentecostal message and the Pentecostal experience and the Pentecostal power, then as much success as you may have, I can't have real revival as long as those wells are stopped up. I need the wells unclogged. I need that living water. I need the wells of revival flowing. That old fact, listen, the message of salvation by faith alone is not predestination. It is not election. It is not Calvinism. We believe that a man, the Bible says, whosoever will, and if you choose not to be saved, it is your choice that will damn you. God has never chosen a person to go to hell. He said, oh, I am not willing that any should perish. We need to unstop the wells of salvation and let people know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And we reject the doctrine of Calvinism. We're going to pull out that old debris of Calvinism and say, anybody, whosoever will, let him come. Why don't you praise him that you went to the Savior and he said yes, and he saved you. Anybody saved here tonight? And we need to unstop the well of sanctification as a second definite work of grace. I know there's people who preach you get sanctified when you get saved. Well, after you get saved, you do get cleansed. You do get born again. You do become a new creature. But the last time a baby was born at the hospital, that baby was really alive. And it cried, but it was a mess. You were too. Somebody had to clean you up. You were living. Amen. And a lot of people, they get saved today, but that old flesh is ugly. And I'll pull back tomorrow. So come back to the altar, my friend, and let God cleanse you from all the filthiness of the flesh and sanctify you as a definite work and experience. And brother, you want to clog up a revival? You start clogging up the message of holiness. But I'll tell you, when you start preaching holiness and unclog that worldly, that old man, that old sinful nature, brother, we'll see revival right then and there. Amen. And we need to unclog that well of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. Come on now. People say, well, I just don't think we need to do all that. I don't think we need to, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't think it's relevant for today. It's never been more relevant. Teenagers need an experience because they're looking for it. And what do you think they're going to try? If they don't get into the church, they're going to get an experience somewhere with something. Hello, parents. Hello, grandparents. Let me tell you, we have got to get a burden for our young people. For our teenagers, for our preteens, because drugs is going to be there, alcohol is going to be there, television, sexual experience is going to be there, curiosity is going to be there, and there's the depth. There it is right there, TV, friends, fest, school, everywhere. And yet, when it comes to church, we need to say, no, there's a greater experience than drugs. There's no high like the Most High. Hallelujah. These be not drunk with wine as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. My goodness, when I was a teenager, I tapped in to the spout, as they used to say, where the glory came out, and it unclogged the well, and I received the baptism at an early age. And I thank God I received the baptism with the Holy. I thank God I was saved. Being saved is good. And I thank God I went on and got sanctified. And I thank God I went on to got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues long before I ever went to college, because it made a difference when I was in college and for the rest of my life. And Holy Spirit baptism are not just for teenagers. It's for us tonight. When's the last time you really poured out your heart in the Spirit? When's the last time you really felt a trembling of His presence? And I know it's not always the feeling and the goose pimples, but yeah, it is a lot of times. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to unclog the well of divine healing. We need to unclog the wells of His soon return. If we're going to have revival, let's look at Isaac and let's follow his example. Let's have that hunger that he had for his father's glory, the glory in his father's day. I know Isaac had to think, wait a minute, when my daddy was living, he walked with God. He had altars everywhere he went, and every well was flowing with pure water, and some reason they have been stopped up. Where have I missed it? And God, give us a hunger like Isaac for the old wells. We need the old experiences. We need the old touch. We need an old-fashioned altar. We need old-fashioned preaching. We need an old-fashioned anointing. We need revival. Give Him a hand of praise. I'm about to shout. You can tell when a preacher's well is unclogged. They tend to dance a lot when they preach. They tend to kick up their legs a lot. You see them at Food Line and they don't want to talk about the Time magazine. They want to talk about the latest miracle. Amen. In case you miss it, I'm talking about Pastor Jerry. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do we need revival? I'm going to give you four whys and then I'm going to tell you the things that can clog our well. Revival isn't stopping the wells. We need revival because of the wickedness of this world. Point one. The wickedness of the world. I tell you, the world, I could have told you back in 2004 when they had the first gay marriage in Massachusetts, I thought, man, that is bad. But I'll tell you what, it is everywhere now. It is everywhere. It is in your teenager's face while you're looking away in your own little world and thinking everything's fine. It is in their face. This, am I a lesbian, young girls? Do I have those feelings? It's a doubt that's put in their mind, and it's exploding in teenagers in early 20s. Homosexuality, lesbianism is exploding by leaps and bounds. They just recently did a study. No wonder it's exploding, because it's pushed on them. While kids get to stay home from church and we don't get to make it to prayer and we don't have time for prayer, all that stuff is getting in their face. And before you know it, they've adopted a lifestyle. And I'm going to say this, and I'll say it with love, but once they cross that line and they go over to that lifestyle, it is very difficult to get them back. Not impossible, but it's very difficult. And we need to realize the world is getting more wicked. We need to understand, we never thought we'd live to see a day when churches were shut down and liquor stores were open because of safety reasons. And I believe in safety, and I believe we should all shut down. But listen, when you shut down Walmart, then I'll be on board with you. Well, people have to go to Walmart and get this, that, and the other. People got to go to church, too. And they got to get the Holy Spirit feeling, the touch and the feeling. Amen. Well, I can get it at home. Yes, you can. Praise God. You can, holy you. You can do it, but I don't see you doing it a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, okay, let's say you can. Let's say you can get all you need from home. And really you can. If they did shut the churches down and we were forbidden to worship, I believe there's such a magnetism about being with the people of God that people would gather in some way, form, or fashion, because the Bible says we're two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. Amen. Wickedness of the world. Wickedness of the world. And now we have transgenders that are in bathrooms with the same sex and things like that that I never would have thought. And by the way, let me please say this to the gay and to the homosexual, to the lesbian, to the transgender. We love you. You may not think we do. You might think we're preaching hard, but it's only because in your mind, you've been deceived and there is truth. God made you male and female. And if you feel like you identify with the opposite sex, let me tell you, come to Jesus and he will straighten it all out and he will let you know what your purpose is. And we have all sinned. And I'll tell you that the unrighteous, gossiping, critical church member who's never been born again is going to the same hell as the transgender. So we cannot look down our pious nose. We must all realize we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And thanks be to God for the mercies of the Lord that forgives sinners. The wickedness of the world, we see it. We see it. And we need a renewal. Public schools. And I read where a school board forbade a group of young people to take down. They would not allow them to put posters that had a cross on it because it was offensive. And the world is getting more wicked. And we see it blatantly. We see Miley Cyrus twerking and we see the Academy Awards and we see freak shows and we see things that we just thought were unmentionable just 10 or 15 or maybe 20 or 30 years ago. You know, man, I'm a child of the 80s and you know, when they did their hair in spikes and painted it pink, we thought that was it, buddy. Nothing could get worse than that. But now hair pipe was spiked with pink in it. It's pretty cool. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Brother Ray, you ought to try it sometime. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But I'm just telling you, relative back then, we were talking about hair and spike and hairspray and pink. Now we're talking about some of the worst, horrible stuff. And if we've ever needed renewal and revival because of the wickedness of the world, we need it now. Can you say amen? Not only because of the wickedness of the world, but because of the lostness of mankind. Listen, you have got to understand that people are lost. If they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are lost and they're going to die and go to hell if they don't know the Lord. Does that bother you? Does that frighten you? Does it ever cross your mind that this person you're talking with has an eternity before them? And we just had a 47-year-old coworker at Best Buy die. And I remember eating with him. I remember thinking about it. I talked to him about coming to church. Now I look back and wish I'd have pressed him a little further and really got to the meat of the situation. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me of any opportunity that I had to win him to the Lord. If he was not, I pray he was ready. And maybe he was. But 47 years of age, man, that's young, guys. I'm telling you, that's young. Men are lost. My children are lost. My grandchildren are lost. My nieces are lost. My nephews are lost. And you know what will help? Praying for them. Amen. Pray. Do you have a list of loved ones that you pray for? I've got some gay family. I pray for them. Do I love them? I absolutely do. Amen. I don't shun them at all. I treat them just like family because I want them to feel the love of God. But when opportunity has arisen, I have preached the gospel to them. They didn't think I was preaching it to them, but I was. Amen. Yes, I am. I'm going to try. We are evangelicals. That means that we need to live up to our name. That means we try to win. We try to bother people, nag people, talk to people. You ask my mom, you ask my sister, you ask my brother-in-law, you ask my family. I'm going to preach to not straight on. Amen, mama. But I'm going to preach to them. I'm going to talk to them about their need to know Jesus Christ because of the lostness of their souls. We need revival because of the wickedness of the world, the lostness of mankind, and because of the lateness of the hour. Friend, it's getting late. The Lord is on the verge of returning for his church. And going back to when I was coming up in classical Pentecostal, they preached the rapture. They preached any minute Jesus. And I tell you, they preached if you won't live in right, you'd miss it. And if you missed it, you'd have to face the Antichrist. And you would have to go through 7 years of tribulation and he'd force you to take a mark on your hand. A mark on your hand? How ridiculous is that? What are we thinking now? Science, technology. Got to get vaccine now. before you can go shop at a store. It's getting to a place if you don't, and it's logical now. We don't want people to be sick. We don't want people to have COVID-19. We don't want people to spread it. And that is true. We don't want people to spread it. We don't want people to be sick. But it's not very hard to go over there and say, you can't shop at this, this store if you don't believe in our values. What are your values? We believe in gay marriage. We believe in this. We believe in that. And if you don't believe in that, then take your business elsewhere. And finally, you're going to get to a place there's nowhere to buy bread. And maybe what'll help is you get a mark that'll say you agree with the government's values. And the minute you take that mark, you've sealed your doom, brother and sister. That's the times where, and it's here. We're not talking about 30 years from now. We are on the doorsteps. It is later than it's ever been. And brother and sister, churches can fuss about the color of the carpet, try to vote the pastor out, try to get, do us all kinds of crazy deacons meetings and conniving and worrying about this and worrying about that. But friend, it is late and it is time for us to have revival. It is time for us to have church. It's time for us to go all in. It's late in this hour. Amen. The flood of 2004 killed more people than Noah's flood. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, the fig tree is blooming. Israel is now asserting itself in the against Iran. And now Russia is being pushed away from the United States. And we're seeing it all happen right before our eyes. The Lord is about to return. And you know what I say? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Can we just say that? Even so come. And when he comes, I want my wheels to be unstopped. Amen. And then because of the lukewarmness of the church. And I'll tell you, the last 10 years, maybe the last 20 years, we've seen a church emerge that was all show and not any gospel. Preachers would spend 25 minutes. I went to one church in another state, and I'll tell you, it was filled. And they had the latest music, the latest technology. And by the way, I am not against the latest music. I'm not against the latest technology. That is not the issue. But when everything was stopped, the preacher goes to the pulpit, and for 25 minutes, you never heard the name of Jesus or the gospel. And the service was dismissed, and people went on their way. And I'll tell you, there's a form of godliness, but denying the God. And we're seeing lukewarm. And the pastor has preached on that in the last few weeks. Lukewarm. You know what that means to be lukewarm. Does anybody love coffee? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you love coffee. I mean, you just got to have your coffee. Anybody don't love it? Raise your hand. You don't love coffee? All right. Some of you don't. Amen. Amen. Well, if you do love coffee, you don't want, thank you, sister. You want it hot. Come on now. And I'll tell you, the Lord wants us to be hot, on fire for God. We as the church, can't be lukewarm. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Oh, my friend, we can't be lukewarm in these days. We must be on fire for the Lord. A lukewarm church. I heard about a parade one time on New Year's Day. It was the breathtaking Tournament of Roses. And right in the middle of the route, a large float actually sputtered and stopped. And so the entire parade came to a stop because of this float had come to a stop. Come to find out, that float was sponsored by Standard Oil Company, the gas company. So the gas company sent their float out on empty. And my friend, there's a lot of churches out there on empty. And we cannot... We've got a name. We can't, they have a gas company name and run out of gas. We can't carry the name of the mighty one, of the powerful one, of the miracle working one and run out. We cannot be lukewarm. We've got to redig those wells. We've got to let the water flow. We've got to go all in. Can you say amen? Years ago in Yosemite National Park in California, where the great redwoods grow, there was a spectacle called the Firefall. And they would saturate large bundles of bark at the top of a big cliff, a granite cliff, at a point which was called, listen to this, Inspiration Point. And they would set those barks aflame. And a big bulldozer would get behind this bundle of bark in the night season when down below in the valley, when the darkness had fallen, there would come out a cry, let the fire fall. It was a yearly thing. Let the fire fall. And the bulldozer would push those bundles of flaming bark over the cliff and they would cascade down the sides, making all sorts of patterns and design. And it was really a spectacle to behold. But they quit doing that. And someone came to see it and they said, where does the fire fall? And this person answered them and said, the fire doesn't fall here anymore. May it never be said of Westmoreland Church that the fire doesn't fall here anymore. But as of this morning, the fire is still falling. Amen. But in a lot of churches, the fire hasn't failed in so long. What's the problem? What's the issue? We've got the wickedness of the world, the lostness of lost souls, the lateness of the hour, the lukewarmness of the church, the professional church world. What is the problem? We have got to have a revival. What is the problem? Well, Isaac found out it was the well was clogged. Now, the word clog is anything that impedes motion or action. An encumbrance or a hindrance. Anything. Somebody say anything. Now, I'm not here to preach on the length of your dress. I'm not here to talk about makeup and jewelry. I'm not here to talk about what you watch on TV or the movies you watch. I'm just going to put it all under this one word. Anything that hinders your life. And don't come judging me on what you've got and what your personal convictions are. If you have something may hinder you, might not necessarily hinder me. Some of you can drink a Pepsi Cola and it not bother you at all. And others of you, if you drink a Pepsi Cola, you just feel like you're drinking alcohol. And so you just better drink water. It's not that the Pepsi Cola is a sin, but it's a clog that might be in your well. And I don't know what it is. You get close to God, you'll know what it is. Amen. You'll find something in there that impedes motion. Friend, we got to keep moving forward. That's what Isaac said. He went and moved forward. We've got to move forward. And we don't want anything. Amen. They used to use a roto-rooter. Go down in there to those old clog pipes. Anybody ever use one? They're not pretty, are they? They have a snake that goes down in there. And they try to, I remember at the store I work at that the stuff would getting clogged in the bathrooms and they'd go and clear it up and it just come right back. And they'd go and clear it up and come right back. Well, come to find out they were going to have to send a camera down there because it was further than they realized. Well, the property owner said it ain't my problem and Best Buy said it isn't our problem. So they went weeks and months to figure out whose problem it was. Meanwhile, we were using a restroom at another store. I'm like, call Craig Hunter. The man will get out here and fix it. He's a friend of mine. He'll give you a deal. Right, Craig? I don't know when you watch this. Amen. Please rescue us. Do you know what it's? It's one thing for me not to be able to use the restroom, but tell a customer 15 times a day. And some of them don't like it. Well, I don't like it either. Finally, they sent a camera down there. They found way, way down there that the pipes had come undone. And it was just going into the ground. And so they were going to have to tear the whole floor up. They're going to have to dig down in there. And there was no way around it. Oh, they finally did it. It was messy. It took a time. But I want you to know, go to the Wilson Best Buy. And anytime you need to use the facilities, everything's unclogged. And it's a blessing when things are unclogged. And brother, we may have to get the camera of the Holy Spirit. We may have to have a Holy Ghost roto-rooter to get down deep and find out what it is that's clogging that well in the churches and in revival and in the move of God. We need something ain't right if there's not signs, wonders, or miracles. If there's not conviction of sin. If we don't see people responding, then we need to unclog those wells. Somebody give him praise here tonight. Well, this is the end of my sermon. But I'm going to just... I started to put, well, what can clog the well? And I got four things down there, and then I realized there's a lot more. Let's just throw a few out there, and I'll ask Adam to come here in just a moment. Bitterness can clog that well. The word bitterness is where we get the word bite from. You've been around somebody that's bitter, but they'll bite. Sometimes they'll bite the preacher right before church. I had a lady one time at another church. I got stories, folks. I'm not going to tell your story. I promise you. I'm not going to tell on you. And I never call names. But I had a lady at another church, another town. And I came into church and I was all peppy and about ready to preach. And shook this brother's hand and shook this sister's hand. And she said, I got a problem with you. And I don't like whatever it was she said I don't like. And I had 1 minute. I said, praise God, sister, just come to my office and we'll talk about it. And the brother behind him evidently, or behind her evidently, liked what he saw, the way I was being treated. And he looked at me and said, preacher, what you going to do about that? I said, praise God, I'm going to preach and we're going to have church. And I stomped off and I said, God, do something with him. And he did, praise God. I hate to say it, but he did. Some people bless you coming. Some people bless you leaving. Amen. I don't need that kind of bite. Now, if you got a serious problem, if you got an issue, you could always welcome to come to see me or Pastor Jerry. See, Pastor Jerry would be my preference. Amen. But I'll tell you, praise God, friend. There's nothing wrong with a legitimate issue. That's not it. But that bite, some people got a bite. You say, how you doing this one? I'm fine. What's the problem? You got that wheel clogged up. We need to send the camera down there. Amen. If your wife ever answers like that, then there's something wrong. Amen. If your wife ever says, I'm fine, she ain't fine, I promise you. Adam's going to be married next few years, I'm sure. And take my word, son. Take my word. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, looking diligently lest any man fail. By the way, honey, how's things doing? Okay, she didn't say I'm fine. Hallelujah. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. The root of bitterness, something, you know what a root is? It's unseen. You know, roots go down deep. Not as the root of bitterness, but the fruit, it springs up and troubles you. Somebody say the word trouble. The word trouble means vexation. The word literally means to crowd or push out. And one great pastor, his name's Adrian Rogers, said that there's one thing in the church that has done more damage to the church, and it's not the homosexual agenda. It's not the political parties, Republican or Democrats. He said it's not Hollywood. He said the one hindrance to the church has not been any of those external things. He said the greatest hindrance of the church has been internal. Talking about the root of bitterness. Somebody got my seat. Somebody sung my song. Somebody didn't get communicated with. And these are issues. These are valid issues. We need to have organized. The church needs to be organized. We need to have our ducks in a row. We don't need to fly by the seat of our pants. We need to know where we're going and what we're doing. There's no army in earth that's just going to, well, what are we going to do today? No, we've got instructions and we're under orders. But sometimes things fall through the cracks. Somebody gets the credit that you did. To God be the glory. Amen. Don't let a root of bitterness. Some people like porcupines. Porcupines are beautiful creatures, but you better not get close to them. Is there bitterness in that well? Is there bitterness against God? Maybe he didn't answer a prayer. Bitterness against your spouse. Bitterness against your children. Bitterness against something that didn't happen. Oh, don't let a bitterness come in and take root. A root cannot grow if it's not fed and not nourished. So you gotta pluck that root out. Pluck it up by the roots and say, I am not going to be bitter. Bitterness does more damage where it's stored than where it's poured. Let it go. Let God move and keep the well open. Can you say amen? Here's another one. Unforgiveness can clog up that well. Unforgiveness. A man was saying how his two children were fighting. And his oldest son was really fighting against his youngest son. And they were squabbling about some issue. And I mean, his oldest son was really just tearing his youngest son up. And then The oldest son noticed Daddy was in there, and he stopped chiding on his younger brother, and he went to Daddy and said, "Oh, Daddy, I just love you. I love you. I love you." Now, how did his daddy feel? Did he love his older son? He did. Did he love his younger son? Of course. But you can't go loving all up to God. "I love you. I worship you," and give your brother or sister a piece of your mind. You can't do it. Come on now. The way you treat others, how can you love the God whom you've not seen and do not love those who you do see? And we must not allow unforgiveness. Just get over it. Just forgive it. Don't let, as Pastor said, somebody else's happiness be in your head. Don't let what they've did, whatever they've done, whatever they've said, forgive them. Well, they haven't asked for it. Don't care. You just give it to them as a free gift. Can you say amen? And I'm not preaching you anything that I haven't had to live in my life. And if I know my heart, and I don't, so if I know my heart, I've forgiven everybody that's done anything that I think is wrong in my life, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Amen. It's not worth it. "Well, brother, how can you do that?" Because I don't want to keep my well clogged up. I want the revival. I want the anointing. Dr. S.I. McMillan said, "The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he controls my thoughts. The man I hate hounds me wherever I go. He whips my thoughts into such a frenzy, my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture." And some of you laying on your bed is a rack of torture because of the clog of unforgiveness. Can you say amen? I'll tell you another thing that'll clog up the well is discord and disunity in a church. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination." Somebody say the word abomination. "Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that what?" Amen. Amen. I'm so glad Westmoreland is not like that. I have to say this is a unified church. And God kisses a church that comes together in unity. There are some churches so divided. I have been privileged to pastor five churches. And I can tell you that there was one church I pastored nowhere around here. So don't think of it, because I've had pastor here for 8 years, but I'm not talking about here. Praise God. This was a great church here. Always has been. I'm talking about Living Waters, now Westmoreland. But one church I pastored one time, I'm literally, one side was one family, the other side was another family. And you, pastor, had to be on both sides. And if you sided with that family, you're in trouble. Or if you sided with that family, I mean, they were divided. And you looked at the vestibule on that church, and you could see the attendance from 1950 was here. And when I got there, it was here. And you could see this pastor stayed for 1 year. This pastor stayed for 2 years. This pastor stayed for 1 year. This pastor stayed for 5 years. This pastor stayed for 1 year. And pastors said, sometimes it ain't the pastor that's the problem, people. Sometimes it's the people. We cannot sow discord among the brethren. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we may get under our skin and we may see things differently. No two people are alike, but it is a command to love one another as Christ loved. And we ought to, I still like, you know, we got too dignified about 15 years ago, and we quit calling brother and sister. You talk to the young millennials and stuff, and they go to church, they just call people by their first name, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I still like saying brother, amen, or sister, amen, brother Ray, hallelujah, sister Susan, amen. I like it. Why? Because brother and sister, we are brothers and sisters, and we need to not fight against each other. We need to fight that devil outside and that wicked world we're dealing with. United we stand, divided we fall. Let's unclog the well. Let's be a unified church. May I remind you that on the day of Pentecost, they were all in what? And then they were in where? Now let's just repeat that. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in discord, and they were in a bunch of places. Do you think the rest of that, and then there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, would have happened? No, sir. But when they get in one accord, It's interesting that the Bible says they were in one accord, because the Bible says they were all in discord just a few weeks earlier. This one went that way, that one went that way, and Peter failed the Lord, and Peter said some cuss words, and John did this, and James did that. They all did that. But somehow, they all came back together and said, we gotta love each other. I know you failed, and I forgive you, Peter, and I forgive you. And in that upper room, they went through and said, listen, we can't be divided. Let's come together in one mind and one accord. And God just blew in that place, and he blows in every place. Let's not clog the well with this unity. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Some lady said, well, I don't repeat gossip at all. So you better listen close the first time. Well, I'm not going to gossip, but I do have something I want to pray about. I had one lady I pastored one time. She said, this lady always calls, want to stir something up. You know, there's people that like to stir things up. She finally said, I'm not talking to you anymore. Hung up. And guess what? She didn't get any more calls. I got to move on. Joylessness clogs the well. Where's your joy? The joy of the Lord. We've been through a pandemic, and we've all had our lives disrupted. Couldn't have funerals, couldn't have weddings, and could only go through drive-through. Couldn't go into Cracker Barrel. I mean, it was tough. And I'm going to tell you something. Takeout Cracker Barrel ain't as good as going in Cracker Barrel. Me and that preacher knows it. Amen. Oh, but the world is watching the church. Are we going to have our joy? My joy is not in Cracker Barrel. My joy is not in the price of gas. Yes, it's going up again. My joy is in the Lord. Apathy. That's another clog. What is apathy? This applies to, well, I don't know. And I don't care. Apathy. Just ambivalent. Friend, we can't be ambivalent. We can't be apathetic. We must be stirred about lost souls. It must stir us to the voting booth when it comes to values and voting. People say, well, I don't know. I'm going to just sit at home because they're all bad. No, you're apathetic. That's a clog in the well. Your voice counts and your vote counts, and you stand before God. And silence yields consent. That's an old maxim from the Romans. In other words, if you do not say no, it implies you're saying yes. You've got to verbalize it. You cannot be apathetic when it comes to church, when it comes to prayer meeting, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to the move of God. We can't have apathy. Well, oh, we'll go to church and we'll go home. No, we've got to stay on fire for God. Amen. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, of infinite importance. Therefore, the only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Oh God, my relationship is important. So, as I bring this message to a close, I came across this, how to keep the well unstopped. Brother Adam, if you want to come and let's play pretend that I'm closing. If people see you on the piano, they'll think I'm closing, which I really am. Make sure it's right for you, brother. I want you to give Brother Ab another hand tonight. He's just been a blessing to us. Amen. He's really the son I should have had. Amen. He is really the son I should have had. I mean, he and I think so much alike and preach and sing. I just praise God for him. But before you start playing, let me just close with some of this. But how many of you tonight, first of all, will you recognize that the well may be clogged up somewhere, somehow, that the enemy tries to clog our wells? And will you say, Lord, help me to have my wells unclogged? Would that be your prayer tonight? Somebody said this, plant 3 rows of peas, peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace of soul. This is a garden. Plant 4 rows of squash, squash gossip, squash indifference, squash grumbling, and squash selfishness. Somebody else said, plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be kind. Let us be patient and let us love one another. No garden is without turnips. Turn up for meetings. Turn up for service. Turn up to help one another. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Let's do that. Let's plant those peas. Let's plant that squash. Let's squash that gossip. Let's plant that lettuce. Let us pray. Let us praise. Let us just let that well be free and fresh and flowing. Come on and lift your hands. You know what will unclog that well? Worship and praise and repentance. Oh God, if I've been bitter. Oh God, if I've been apathetic. In these crucial times, Lord, unclog the wells here at Westmoreland Church. Lord, if I've brought disunity, discord, if I've been grumbling instead of being thankful. Oh God, help me, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like Isaac, God. You want to bless us 100-fold. Oh God, you want us to sow in the land. You want us praying in the field. God, you want to do incredible things in the life of Isaac, and you did. And God, you want to do it here at Westmoreland Church. And can we do plant my feet on higher ground one more time? Lord, lift me up. Amen. And let me stand. That's what unclogging the wells is all about. Saying, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Go ahead and say it, brother.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
Come on. Let the clogs be undone tonight.
Heaven's table land.
A higher plane that I have found. Tonight, let the river flow. Wells of living water, unstop the wells, Lord.
A higher plane
than I have found.
Lord, plant my feet
on higher ground. Sing one of those verses. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on
heaven's table land, a higher plane.
Oh, glory! I believe the wells are getting unstopped here tonight.
My feet on higher ground.
All right, listen to this. Listen.
My heart has no desire to stay.
Unclog. That's right.
Where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim, Lord, is
higher ground.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Now look, you got to pray this prayer this week. Don't let the devil throw the stuff down the well, all right? Don't go home and get into spat with your spouse, all right? Don't let that get into the well. Come on. Don't let somebody on the job get under your skin tomorrow. All that's going to do is throwing stuff down the well. My God is in my life. And He's going to bless me going in and coming out. Tell three people as you leave tonight, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. God bless you. We'll see you at the prayer meeting Wednesday night. Prayer meeting. God bless you. You're dismissed. God bless you. Tell three people, I am blessed and highly favored of God. Plant my feet on high. Yeah. Oh.